Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Thrive Church, a church passionate about moving people towards Jesus.
Nice to be together, isn't it? Welcome to you if you're joining us online today for the first time ever. So good to be together. Welcome to the leaders in the building as well. So good to be together and to worship together. You may have your seats. And talking about yesterday, talking about Mandela Day very quickly, just to give you an update, our church pulled in and together gave 78 pints of blood, which means 234 lives saved. Isn't that absolutely fantastic? God is good. And so we're so blessed. Honestly, we are so encouraged by that. And we pulled in not only to give blood, but to give non-perishables and to give sanitary wear. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Just want to echo what Matt said in news today. And isn't the future bright as we look at Carl and as we look at Hein and as we look at our worship team and as we look at our leaders in the building and as we look at our online platform, the future is bright. And as Pastor Ken said so well, keep the vision in front of us, keep the puzzle there. We are moving towards Jesus and we'll continue to do so. Hey, so welcome to it. So good to be together. Would you pray with me today? Let's trust the Lord. How many of you didn't rock up here just out of some sense of duty or because it's Sunday? You rocked up here, you came, you're online today because you want to connect with God. So Father, we ask for that today. Help us to connect with you, Jesus. May your word shape us and mold us and change us and form us. And may it be one of those days. May these words spoken today, may they be a time when we just shift something inside of us and you do the work, Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Well, the other day, Pastor Ken and I went to a restaurant for dinner and it was a date night, long delayed date night. Restaurants opened. We took the gap. We did. We went to a warm restaurant. That is my criteria for restaurants in winter. It must be warm. And we pulled in, and we were sitting having dinner with each other, and I had a kind of a view from the table across Pastor Ken's shoulder to the rest of the restaurant, and what I saw there disturbed me. Because of the tables that were there, and the restaurant, the people that were in the restaurant, there was one particular couple that had also come for a date night, you could see. I mean, they were toffed up, the oak had cleaned up, you'd showered, you know, you'd done the things, and she was dolled up to the nines. And they were about to sit down and have a lovely meal. And guess what was happening? They were on their phones. And I watched them the whole night in a restaurant together about to eat a lovely meal. And they're on their phones. Isn't that sad that we can come to a restaurant, get toffed up for a nice date night, and then be on our phones? Here's the thing, where the digital world is more interesting than the person in front of us. I looked at that and this quote came to mind, a lady called Sherry Turkle from MIT, Massachusetts Institute of Technology in Boston says this, moments of more may leave us with less. And the thing is, here's the thing, you know it, I know, technology has made our lives better, it just hasn't made us better. It's made our lives better, but it hasn't made us better. We are lagging developmentally. Technology's advancing, but our emotional quotients aren't. That's why you can have a couple in a restaurant on a date night on their phones the entire evening. Tech has made our lives better, just hasn't made us better. And Seneca said this, to be everywhere is to be nowhere. Anybody ever multitasked before? You're kind of partly there and partly not. I have a confession to make. The 8 o'clock were massively judgmental. Talking about multitasking, I like to look at my phone when I drive. You see, you are. Online, I just wish I could be with you in this moment I am with you in this moment because I know that you're not judging. I hadn't finished my sentence yet. Yellow judgmental. I like to look at my phone when I drive and I get to the robot, is what I was going to say. But the, you know the point, so you're driving and you're fixing your music and you're checking your WhatsApp. To be everywhere is to be aware. That's why you can be at dinner with your husband or your wife. You can be there and be nowhere. Pictures tell 1,000 words, don't they? I want to show you what our life has become like now. I'm not going to say a word. I'm just going to allow some pictures to scroll as you see what life has become for us. Thanks, Dean. Crazy, hey? Yeah. Crazy. This technology is shaping our lives in unbelievable ways. There's some values that technology is... Somebody's penned the phrase digital Babylon. And it's invading our lives. If you and I aren't careful, let me show you and share with you how technology's shaping our lives, the values that technology brings into our lives and how it's shaping us. Firstly, I think it's shaping it with the speed. The speed of technology, we can have what we want when we want. The only thing that slows you down is how fast your fingers can type. Right? Speed. Secondly, choices. The choices of technology, the choices involved with technology, give us like an endless supply of what we want. Hence, you can have an app called Tinder. You used to have to meet people physically. Now what you can do is you can check them and just swipe left if they don't look like her. Yeah. Third value is individualism. Everything's customizable. You can even make your own avatar. Right? So let me explain to you how these values are shaping our lives. Because these values of technology and what technology is bringing into our lives is shaping our lives in unbelievably profound ways. And it's shaping it under your nose. You don't even know that you're being shaped. You don't even know that you're being formed, but we are. Firstly, the speed of the digital age has made us impatient. Ever noticed how badly you wait in a queue these days? Listen, if I got to go to Home Affairs, I start preparing myself a week in advance. If I go to a bank and there's a queue, I turn around. I'm just not doing it. Are you with me? Why? Because the speed of the digital age has made us impatient, and the choices of the individual of the digital age have made us shallow. Right? You know it. We know it. And the individualism of the digital age has made us isolated. I ran through those again one more time for us. The speed of the digital age has made us impatient. The choices of the digital age, they've made us shallow. And the individualism of the digital age has actually made us isolated way more than what we ever thought it would be. We feel like we see everybody else's life, but we don't feel seen ourselves. We feel like we have a window into everybody else's life, but nobody gets a window into ours. It's a massively, massively complicated thing that we are in at the moment. Microsoft did a study the other day. Interesting. On attention spans, well, not the other day, 5 years ago they did this. From 2000, the year 2000, to 2015, 2016, attention spans dropped from 12 seconds to 8 seconds. Now, what's shocking about that is that they were 12 seconds in the first place. Who here thought it would be a lot longer? But actually, if you think about it, 12 seconds is, you try and concentrate solid for 12 seconds. Or keep your attention on me for 12 seconds. before you start looking around, whipping out your phone, and you know. So, but there's a 30% drop. So 4 seconds down, 30% drop over 15 years. What's doing it? It's the phones, it's the devices, it's technology. Tech has made our lives better. It just hasn't made us better. Why? Because you and I are getting a dopamine hit every single time we look at our device. Do you know that those who design apps, those who design technology, they are designing it to give us a dopamine hit? What's dopamine? It's a hormone that gets secreted into our blood system every time you and I get a notification on our device. The dopamine gives us a feel-good factor. You know, like when you check your Facebook or your Insta profile or whatever, and you see there's a notification, a little red thing pops up, it goes, ding, and you go, yeah, I got a comment. I got a like. What's that doing? It's giving you a little mini dopamine hit. Every time you see one, there's something in your brain going, somebody's interested. Somebody said, and it's a feel-good factor. So when you see messages, you see notifications on your messages, you can't stay away from it because you go, I've got to see what's going on. I think the best thing you can do is take your notifications off of your WhatsApps. Change your life. Take the ping off, put it on silent, put it on do not disturb. Yeah. Your life, your revolution, like somebody will say, what do you learn at church to take the notifications off my WhatsApp? It's the best, it's the best spiritual advice I can give you. And the thing is, guys, once we are wired for distraction, once we are wired for distraction, we can't detach from it. And we are in an addiction war. I've chosen my phrase carefully. You and I, we are in an addiction war. The addiction is technology. If you've got kids, as Pastor Ken and I do, you'll know the war that we're in. And give your kids phones, give them to kids too young. Here's the thing. In fact, a friend and I, we were talking about this yesterday. Technology invades their lives and they're not emotionally prepared for it. We were chatting with some friends of ours about 8 or 9 months ago down in Durban. They've got 4 kids. Their oldest kids are 16 years of age now. We're having a braai together, and I noticed the boys, the twins, they're both 16. They were interacting with us. They were chatting. They were helping their parents prepare them food. They were kind of chatting over the braai. I thought to myself about 10 minutes into the conversation, I cannot believe just how well-adjusted and how integrated into the conversation these kids are. The norm for a 16-year-old would be to... And we stopped and we said to them, hey guys, your boys are just incredible. They're able to engage so freely in the conversation. He said, my friend said to me, you'll notice why. He says, they don't have phones. I said to him, let me just get the... They don't have their phones with them, or they don't have phones? He says, they don't have phones. Wow. Yeah. I said, 16 years of age, they don't have phones. What happens? He says, well, you know, there was a life before mobile phones. And so if their friends want to get hold of them, guess what they do? They message their mom. And the mom passes on the message. I asked them about it. I said, do you feel scum at school not having a phone? He says, no, we had to have a conversation to just say we're not allowed phones and that's not the kind of family we are. And after that, the conversation was dead. And every single one of my friends, if they want to get a hold of me, they just message my mom and say, hey, can I phone now? It's not that difficult. Guess what? They're free. They're light. They're not subject to online bullying. They're not putting up with nonsense. Caitlin had to do a project a couple of months ago. Because of that, she had to download an app. The app was there to facilitate project work. After the project was finished, the chats continued. One night we were going through her iPad. Pastor Ken was scrolling the messages, because you know you should do that. If you got a child of no matter what age and you're not checking their phone at least a couple of times a week. So Pastor Ken's checking her device. And as she does so, she sees a chat with a whole bunch of girls. And these girls were becoming catty and horrible to each other and nasty to each other. We called Kate. We said, what's going on with this? She says, yeah, these girls, look, you can read the conversation. Pastor Ken said to her straight away, delete that app right away. She said, looked at it and she said, can I? She said, you can. Delete, gone. Seriously, we are in an addiction war. It used to be heroin and coke, and now it's tech. And unless you realize you're in an addiction war, you're going to lose the battle. There is a better way to live. There is a richer way to live. I'm going to read to us from John chapter 1. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Fourth book of the Bible, the Gospels. And let's read to it. I'm going to read to it from a paper Bible. Do you remember paper? Anybody got a real Bible? Put it in the chat if you're online in the building. Anybody got like a genuine Bible? John chapter 1. Few verses today. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God. Just hang with me, and I'm going to tell you the relevance of the scripture. Are you with me? Can you keep your attention span longer than 12 seconds? He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. I want you to notice, before we go any further, how God is talking about an analog world here. John is talking about an analog world. A real God became real. And not only that, he interacted with the world in a physical sense. Not only that, he came into this world. God did not stay digital. Somebody got it this morning. God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. Do you notice how many analog references? By analog, I mean real things like light and world and flesh. Are you with me? The one who is the true light, who gives light to everything, was coming into the world. What we're doing is we are forming a theology of the physical. Verse 10, he came into the very world he created. God came. God did not stay digital. God left the realm of the Word and became flesh. God left WhatsApp and came in person. I want to drop to verse 14 because this is the essence of today. Carl spoke about essence. It's such a powerful word. So the Word became human and made his home among us. The Word became human and made his home among us. The Word became human and made his home among us. God left the spaces of words and messages and papyrus and scrolls and pages and ink and WhatsApp messages and direct messages and inboxes, and he became a person. God could have stayed a message, but he became a person. God could have stayed digital, but he became human. God could have sent you an Instagram inbox to say, I love you, but he became real. Why? Because there's something about the physical. When God wanted to show you and I that he loved us, he went analog on us. Are you with me? Here's the essence of what I want to convey today. God went deeper than digital. God went analog. And I believe in this time, we'll get to it just now. We have to be people who are called out of digital spaces into physical spaces. And God invites us. When he decided to show himself who he was, he came out of the invisible space and he came into the physical, visible space. And there's nothing more powerful in our lives than when you and I do the same. He invites us into that space. There's a reason why Amazon, the biggest tech business in the world, in fact, the biggest business in the world, the biggest market capitalization on planet Earth is Amazon, who made their name, made their living, make their business through digital shopping. There's a reason why Amazon is launching 3,000 bookstores across the world. Because they're realizing that people live deeper than digital. And people want to live deeper than digital. Amazon are realizing that analog is the new digital, and the digital and the physical have to coexist. And people are looking for meaning to life deeper than digital, and they're finding that in the physical. That's why Pastor Ken and I love to go to Exclusive Books. Right next to the Exclusive Books at Bedford Center, I'm about to change your life right now, is Seattle Coffee. And what you can do is you can get Seattle Coffee, and Exclusive Books allows you to take your Seattle into their store. You notice they've got nothing that says no eating and drinking here, because they understand that coffee and books go together. They understand that people want to smell coffee and feel books and sit in a real chair and look at people, and people watch and see how strange the people are as they walk past. There's a reason. Why? Because we're physical people. And so that can be your church too. If we're not careful, we will substitute cheap alternatives for real things. When we grew up, my mom once made the fatal mistake let me go back a step. Who here loves Rice Krispies? I love Rice Krispies. I just love real Rice Krispies. One day my mom came back with what we thought were Rice Krispies. You see, I'm retreating on the stage because the memory is making me recoil in horror. We opened the box. They looked like Rice Krispies. They even sounded like Snap, Crackle, and Pop. But the first spoon, I realized, they might look like Rice Krispies. They might smell like and even sound like Rice Krispies. But they don't taste like Rice Krispies. Why? Because it was the no-name brand. If it don't say Rice Krispies on the box, it's not Rice Krispies. Because there's nothing like the real thing. There's three real things that we are losing today. The first real thing, and we are substituting relevance for transcendence. I'll give you a working definition of each of those. Relevance, I would say this to us, relevance is being closely connected or appropriate. So if you're relevant to the culture, you're closely connected or appropriate to the culture. We've got so hooked on being relevant that we've forgotten what transcendence is. Transcendence is something something beyond the human physical experience. And you and I, not you online and us here only, our world has become so fixated on being relevant. We sat once in a restaurant and watched a group of young ladies drinking champagne and literally practicing selfies for 2 hours. I really wanted to get up and just say, can I take a photo for you guys? I've really, you know, guys, my good side, my bad side. I've realized with a selfie, I've got no good side. How many of you know that in a selfie, anything will look too big? Nose is too big, your ears is too big, your mouth. The point was they were working so hard at being relevant, connected to the culture, they forgot what was transcendent. I'll tell you what's transcendent: sitting across the table from a friend, having a conversation. Tell you what's transcendent is worshiping in an auditorium. Tell you what's transcendent is grabbing a cup of coffee and having a conversation with a person. What's transcendent is standing shoulder to shoulder with somebody, praying for somebody. What's transcendent is meeting a friend and talking about what's going on in your life. That's transcendent. And we exchange online relevance. We substitute it for transcendence. And it's the no-name brand Rice Krispies. And it'll let you down every time. Second thing that we are substituting. So we are substituting, consuming, or contributing for consuming. In other words, we think consuming is the thing and actually contributing is the thing. Why? Because digital spaces teach us that you can consume content. And before you know it, we think you can consume people like you can consume content. Before you know it, we think we can consume our physical world like we consume our digital world. And so what happens is we consume fast food like we consume digital content. So we consume people like we consume digital content. We consume friendships like we consume digital content. We consume marriages like we consume digital content. We even consume the church like we consume digital content. And people date the church. They go, yeah, I like that church. It's like they've got nice things there. But I'm going to swipe left and I'm going to go to the one down the road because that guy looks nicer, he's friendlier. We become digital consumers and we think the physical world can be digitally consumed and it can't. And then we wonder why we struggle for friendships. We struggle for friendships because at the swipe of your finger, you can instantly defriend someone or unfriend someone or block someone or ghost someone. And in the real world, it doesn't work because that person goes, what on earth are you doing? Are you with me? Consuming is to put a minus sign next to everything you touch. Contributing is to put a plus sign with whatever you do. How do you know if you've become a consumer or a contributor? Things are of values added when you're contributing to it. Anything you touch, any environment you touch. You know, you and I, we can walk into a church auditorium like this and we can have a passive consumption mentality. I'm going to watch the worship. I'm going to watch the message. Or we can have a contributor mentality. I'm going to come in. I'm going to contribute to the atmosphere of this place. I'm going to come in. I'm going to contribute to the worship. God's going to get more glory because I've been in the building. People are going to be impacted positively because I've been in the building. I'm going to add value to somebody in a conversation that I have today. I'm going to put my hand on somebody's shoulders. I'm going to pray for them today. I'm not going to become a consumer. I'm going to be a contributor to every environment that I step into. Because you can't consume physical environments like you do digital content. Are you being helped today? All alive. All kicking. A looting in our country was an ultimate example of a consumption mentality, a consumer mentality that says, I'm going to take and never give. And the problem with that is there's a finite pool of resources. We've got to build lives through commitment and through competence and through character. And if comfort and convenience is your currency, you will always build a weak life. If comfort, convenience, compatibility, if those are the currency of your life, you will always trade short. Because they never appreciate in value. It's like holding dollars versus rands. Third thing is we are substituting. We're buying the no-name brand Rice Krispies called communication when the real thing is communion. Explain the difference to you. Communication is about the exchange of information. Communion is about the exchange of presence. Communication is about the exchange of information. Communion is about the exchange of presence. And so when you and I understand that digitally we can communicate, but you can never commune online. Why do you, some people I can see going, let me think about that. Why do you think if you date on Tinder at some stage you're going to meet physically? Because there's an exchange of presence. Have I made my case? Communication is companionship without the demands of friendship. And that's why when you're tired, you can't give yourself to friendship, you can still scroll. Because it's companionship without the demands of friendship. Are you with me? Would you scroll through to the next thing, guys? My clicker's giving me drama again. See if you can give it to me. Thanks, guys. To come, what we are being called to do is to come out of digital spaces. There's an interesting word for the church called ecclesia. It's a Greek word, or ekklesia. It means to be called out from. Now, in first century culture, the predominant meaning from that was, come out of the Roman culture. Come out of the Babylonian culture. Come and be a new community of people. I think today you and I are living in digital Babylon and we don't even know it. I think one of the most profound ways that you and I can be the ecclesia, the called out ones, the ones who are called to live differently, is if you and I come out of digital spaces into analog spaces. If you and I come out of a preoccupation with digital and we learn that actually real people, flesh, blood, communion above communication, transcendence above relevance, contribution above consumption, unless you and I realize that these are the real things. Yeah. Unless you and I call the no-name brand Rice Krispies what they are, we'll never be the ecclesia. We'll never be the called out ones. Are you with me today? Yeah. The church is really about three things: to gather regularly to worship, right? To share lives together, life group, and to learn the way of Jesus. Wow. We say it again, the church is really there. It really does three things at its essence, at its core. We gather to worship. We build lives together. And we learn the ways of Jesus. Are you with me? And the scripture tells us in different spaces and different passages what this ecclesia is called to do. The scripture tells us what you're called to become. See, scripture tells us in Galatians, serve one another humbly in love. To love the worship team because they've served us. Yeah. To love our staff because today they've served us. We've tried to minimize the volunteers so that the most amount of leaders can be here. So our staff are serving one another. They're serving you in love. I hope you show them love. I hope you buy them coffee today. I hope you go to the cafe and buy them gifts. I hope you buy them wine gums. Scripture tells us not only serve one another in love, be humble and gentle with one another. Be patient with one another, Ephesians tells us. Speak to one another in psalms and hymns. And you might think that's a little bit weird. Really what you do is when we sing, we build each other up. That's why your presence matters. That's why online your presence as a family online, it really, really matters. Why? Because you're coming together, you're speaking to one another. You're singing words of life and love over one another. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. It's powerful. Yeah. We're called not only to do that, we're called to confess to one another, aren't we? Everybody loves to pray for one another. Not so many people like to confess to one another. I tried confessing to you. So I'm just going to go to my priest in the box next time. And Father, forgive me for I have sinned. I cannot confess it to my congregation. Are you checking with me? Well, okay. Scripture tells us to spur one another on with love. Don't give up meeting together, the writer of Hebrews tells us. Why? Because when God wanted to show love, he put on flesh. Yeah. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Means you should invite each other over for dinner. Means you should open your homes to each other. And scripture goes on and on and kind of summarize it like this way. Serve one another. Love one another. Bear with one another. Be patient with one another. Offer each other hospitality. Keep one another accountable to each other. Confess to each other. Don't give up meeting together. This is what it means to be the ecclesia, and you cannot do that only in digital spaces. And so while you can have church online, you can't be an online church. Are you with me? So we have Thrive Online, but Thrive is not an online church. Thrive Online is an online campus, but the real church happens physically. We kind of land it here. The Word became flesh. John chapter 1. I've given you three words today. Transcendence. To be beyond the realm of human experience, physical human experience. Transcendence. I've given you communion. Right?
Yes.
And I've given you contribution. Transcendence. Above relevance. Contribution above consumption. Communion above communication. You will find all three of those words in four words in Scripture. The Word became flesh. Because Jesus transcended the human experience. Never before had God become man. Secondly, God contributed. He never consumed from us. He contributed. He gave his one and only Son so that the Word would become flesh. Are you with me? And thirdly, God communed with us. He didn't communicate with us. All of the Old Testament from Genesis to Malachi was about communication, an exchange of information. But all of the New Testament from Matthew to Revelation is about communion, an exchange of presence. And so the Word became flesh, transcendent, contributing, communioning God. What am I saying to us? Yet I will decide to live deeper than digital. Right? I will decide to live deeper than digital. You know, when I go away and I'm traveling, I can FaceTime Pastor Ken and the kids. I mean, I think this will bring perspective. And it's fantastic. It's so much better than not being able to FaceTime them. But it's also so much worse than putting my arms around them. Are you with me? And if we can find a middle space for our digital lives, where we realize it's so much better than not having technology, but it's so much worse than living physically. It positions it in the right space, in the middle ground. I'd rather have FaceTime than not, but I'd rather have real people than FaceTime. Make sense? Come church, let's decide to be people who live deeper than digital. Let's take control of our digital lives. Let's face our addictions. Let's admit we're addicted. And let's begin to do something about it. In Jesus' name. I feel like that should have a Brian Houston, amen. Right? Come, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your love for us. Thank you for your grace. Please, Holy Spirit, come and do in our families and in parents and in children what you need to do. Help us to be ecclesia, called out ones, called out from digital Babylon. You may be watching today, and four words, the word became flesh, actually will turn your life upside down. Because that is that Jesus came. God put on flesh so you could know him and I could know him. Today, all throughout the service, the love of God has been drawing you. Something about the word became flesh, that God who made heaven and earth would come and would put on what I am made of so that I could know him. As Carl said, so that I could know the essence and the attributes and the qualities of God. It's a staggering and mind-blowing reality, and God has been drawing you and calling you. Speaking to somebody who's watching online today, it's almost like God has drawn you so powerfully to him today. I'd love the great privilege of giving you a next step. That is deciding to follow Jesus. It means you invite him into your life. It means you open your heart and you say, I want you in my life. I want to hand over the driving seat to you. I want to learn about Jesus. I want to learn who he is. I want to learn to be with him, become like him, and do what he did. I want to stop living my life on my own terms, for my own plans, for my own purposes, and towards my own end. It means I want to live my life connected to the transcendent God who became flesh, who contributed his son for me, who gave his son for me, and who communes with me, saw fit to have an exchange of presence. And the way you can do that today is simply to WhatsApp the words, follow Jesus. And I'd love to include you in this prayer. Father, thank you so much that you love us. Thank you, Jesus, that you did decide to leave your place of heaven in heaven, come to earth. You were born to die for me. Thank you that your blood was shed on the cross for the forgiveness of my sins, because the scripture tells us that without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission, no forgiveness of sin. Thank you for that. Today, I place my life in your hands. I ask you for your forgiveness. I ask you to wash me, cleanse me, mold me and shape me. And even as I take a step of faith to say, I don't even know what this journey entails, but I want to get started. And so, Father, I entrust my life into your hands. Holy Spirit, I invite you into my life and I ask you to begin to shape my life and teach me what it is to follow Jesus. If you prayed that prayer today, we'd love you to connect with you so that we can put something in your hands. And so if you WhatsApp the words, follow Jesus, one of our team is standing by to WhatsApp you back a few next steps for your journey. May grace and peace be yours, everybody. God bless.
We hope you have been blessed and helped by this message. For more information about our church, visit our website at www.thrivechurch.co.za.